City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams. Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, the lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 511, appeal of Steve Cox against the Noise Review Board decision to grant a noise variance to Portland International Raceway for the National Hot Rod Association National Open Drag Race on August 22nd through the 24th, 2008.
This is how the meeting will unfold. We'll call up the staff and they'll have 10 minutes. The appellant will have 10 minutes. Supporters of the appellant and the clerk has a sign-up sheet will have 3 minutes each. The principal opponent of the appeal will have 15 minutes, and other opponents of the appeal will have 3 minutes each. And finally, the appellant will have a five-minute rebuttal, and then it'll be council decision to make a decision. So please come forward, staff.
Paul Van Orden, the noise control officer for the city with the Bureau of Development Services. Mayor and commissioners, the appeal that is before us today was a noise variance application to the Noise Review Board on March 12th, 2008. It was for an automotive race. It was one of the four variances that the Noise Review Board is empowered by council to issue. And the board did approve this variance. I'm going to first offer a little bit of historical background on the variances for PIR and then move back into the actual request that came to the Noise Review Board on the 12th. In 1989, City Council, in a resolution, decreed that the Noise Review Board was empowered to issue four noise variances for PIR. Those variances were limited with specific decibel levels as measured at 50 feet from the raceway. And those four variances are specifically one variance at 110 decibels, two variances at 112 decibels, and one at 115. The variance that we are reviewing today that is being appealed is the single variance that's at the highest level, 115 decibels. And so the concept that council had in mind at the point in 1989 when the four variances were approved for review by the Noise Review Board was to place some ability for the automotive community to have races, but also have that balance of having a set number of times that these events would occur and a set decibel level at which they would actually operate to minimize the impact on the community. The variance that's before us is a unique one in the sense that we haven't seen this specific race before, so there's not a history that the city's Noise Review Board was able to turn to specifically at the racetrack, although there were readings that the applicant presented to the Noise Review Board in reference to other facilities where these races had occurred. It's a National Hot Rod Association National Open Drag Race, and it's specifically limited to a point where it's not the louder cars that have been removed from PIR quite some time ago, such as the alcohol funny cars or the nitro funny cars that might operate down in Woodburn or at other facilities. So it's not the stereotypical vision that someone might have of the really large drag racing cars. It's very similar to what we see currently at PIR. It's just a more open race in terms of slightly louder vehicles that are brought in from other areas of the Northwest to race for this national qualifying race is how I would classify it. The other element to mention is that with the four variances that are normally on the table for the Noise Review Board, there's always a balance the board tries to find among those four races to figure out which race should get which variance, because obviously any promoter would probably come in and say, I would look for the 115 variance. So part of the dialogue that normally happens at the Noise Review Board is that the board will not only take into account the variance that's on the table, but potential variances that are going to come down the stream that the board is aware of. So in this case, one of the concerns that the board did balance out was this historical concept of the champ car races. So one of the the one concept that was a concern as we were reviewing this variance, which some of the council members may be aware of, was that Champcar was potentially coming to the city, but we weren't certain. So part of the balance in issuing this noise variance was working with the management at the racetrack to ensure that we wouldn't negatively impact the city's rapport with the Champ Car races. And luckily, when this variance was brought forward to council, the Champ Car races at that point had disappeared from the list of possible variances that we would review. So that left us with a much easier decision process for the city's noise review board. Move forward to the actual March 12th date. The noise review board reviewed the variance. We did have a notable amount of public comment, primarily in the form of emails. Leading up to the actual hearing, we had approximately 35 public comments via letters or emails, and then still received several leading right up to the council hearing tonight. The majority of the tone of the emails was primarily in opposition of the variance, but there was an overwhelming tone of not only asking for the noise review board to potentially deny the variance, but more importantly, asking for the city to take positive action on abating noise at the racetrack. All of those folks have been filtered into our list of citizens who will be notified of the upcoming hearings on the two-year North Portland noise reduction data collection project that will appear before the noise review board on the 18th of May, and then is scheduled currently to come back to the council on June 18th. I'm sorry, that was May 14th for the noise review board and June 18th for city council. And so I'm not sure that that's come across any of the council members' desks, but because it's a sensitive issue partially tied to what we're talking about today, I thought that would be a salient item to mention. The last item just to mention about this review was the board received the application, went through the standard approach of asking the applicant several questions, offered opportunity for public comment to the members of the community who were present, and then basically came up with a unanimous decision in support of the application that is before us tonight. The variance was not an unusual variance in terms of, from a staff perspective, I didn't feel that I saw any race groups that raised concerns in terms of a different engine mix or a different exhaust system that we weren't familiar with. It was relatively straightforward. The applicant was pretty, the applicant was clear to us that they were asking for slightly higher than what they needed because there was an element of not having had this race appear at the racetrack. And that was, from the perspective of the board and from staff, a good approach because we'd rather see the race come in quieter than wind up having an issue where we have to figure out what to do on the day of the race if it's actually louder than the prescribed level that the board allows. And so move forward to today's date. We have an appeal that's moved forward from a citizen who did officially make testimony at the noise review board hearing on the 12th. And I'm not sure if there's any questions for staff. Members of the noise review board will also be coming forward to offer some of their own comments as representatives of the board.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Could the appellant please come forward? Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 10 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Steve Cox. I live in the Kenton neighborhood. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Here we are again. More than 30 people turned in written and oral testimony to the Noise Review Board meeting last month in August, or last month for the August drag race. Regardless of the number of testimonies against the variance, the Noise Review Board feels obligated to approve the variance against the track, and we all know that this is about more than just one variance race. Now, racing blogs will refer to me as part of the North Portland 8, and the staff at PIR so professionally refer to us as whiners. But today, I am here to represent a new and growing group called Livable North Portland. It is not our intent to prevent people from doing something they enjoy or to deny how much money that this or any of the variance races may bring to Portland, but to address the larger ongoing problem that has lasted almost 30 years. 30 years. A few years ago, I forwarded testimony from Mike Burton, a former president of North Portland Citizens Committee and state representative. He told the story of the early days of kart racing at PIR and Commissioner Jordan's agreement to mitigate the noise if North Portland residents would go along with the racing. Now, Commissioner Jordan has left, and mayors and commissioners have come and gone, and still nothing has been invested in noise mitigation. Only years of pitting us versus them. No one will touch this hot rod, hot potato. In a recent email from a community bike leader, he referred to PIR as controversial. At a neighborhood meeting last week, the discussion was prefaced by noting the sensitive and passionate issue of PIR. I have tried to see what is so controversial about neighbors wanting to peacefully enjoy their own property. I have said over and over, and I will say again, we are not anti-racing. We are pro-peaceful, livable neighborhoods. We are merely trying to protect and enjoy our homes and our yards, our biggest investments, our sacred space, our retreats. How dare we speak out? Did I mention that this has been going on for 30 years? Perhaps the controversy is based in a person's right to expression. Now, I do not deny racing fans the right to their hobby, but what I do not understand is how for 30 years people sitting in those chairs up there have done nothing tangible to reduce the impacts of the city-owned facility. Now, Mayor Potter, you gave us such great hope 2 years ago when you suggested moving the track, and I thank you for those few minutes of enjoyment, but that was quickly shot down, and here we are again. Ranting about how much noise we must endure for another season. And this is a new drag race that we don't even know how much noise is going to be produced. There is an 8-foot plyboard wall surrounding PIR, while $2 million was just spent to resurface the track. Now that is the controversy. Perhaps you could twist the knife a little harder. I get over and over from people, why did you buy a house near a racetrack? I bought in Kenton because it's a great neighborhood with history and a park lined with oak trees, and there's light rail, and it's what I could afford as a single person with one income. And my 100-year-old home was there long before the racetrack. Does it mean because I can't afford a $260,000 home that I have to put up with noise 4 to 5 days a week from April through October from a city-run facility a mile away? I will not accept that. Portland is better than that. It is time to correct this problem and look for acoustical solutions and other ways and events to reduce noisy impact on the neighborhoods. Putting the track there to begin with was a poor decision 30 years ago with absolutely no regard for the neighborhoods. But both the track and the neighborhoods need to work together with what they've got and make the best of it. It is time to honor the empty promise to mitigate the noise. This shameful pass-the-buck attitude, avoiding the controversy from people sitting in your chairs for 30 years, has gone on long enough. The controversy is that Portland is a nationally known city for livability, and one of our parks is allowed to spew toxic levels of noise into neighborhoods all summer long. Now, I know it wasn't you who made the poor decision to put the track so close to the neighborhood, but will someone please step up and end this vicious cycle and reduce the noise and enforce noise reduction? According to OSU psychologist Dr. Darian Fenn, between 25 and 30% of the population is sensitive to sound. 25 to 30%. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that that's the big difference between us whiners and those who enjoy the track. There are plenty of statistics from the World Health Organization about the dangers of constant noise. I know there are people who enjoy the track, but how many people merely tolerate it because it's been there for 30 years? The website of Friends of PIR lists the mission and objectives. They make claims to promote, expand, and enhance racing. Nothing is mentioned about the negative impact they have. They claim to have a vested interest in the track and its relationship to those it affects and serves. Well, I am here to remind you that it does not always affect in a positive manner. PIR is anything but a good neighbor. They are inconsiderate. When the city itself cannot be a good neighbor, what kind of example does that set for the community at large? Is that the attitude of one of the nation's most livable cities? North Portland is only getting denser. Within three blocks of my house alone, there are 26 new skinny houses, and a 31-unit condo building will open in just a few months. The PDC has some great plans for downtown Kenton, but this constant noise will negate any of those improvements. All that Friends of PIR have done is dig in their feet and say, screw you, noise is part of our fun. We're not investing a dime to make it quieter. And they won't until you tell them to. If Friends of PIR is so committed, as their second objective suggests, to helping prioritize and fund critical North Portland improvements, then direct noise abatements should be their priority. If it costs $75 for the privilege of driving on this $25 track, then so be it. We already lost the North Portland Trust Fund, and now there is no compensation for 7 months of noise that we must endure. I'm trying to appeal to any truly good sportsmen among the PIR supporters. Do the right thing and address the noise so that you can keep racing in a responsible, neighborly, low-impact manner. Would it kill you to give us one quiet weekend a month so that on Sunday mornings in August, the Methodist Church in Portsmouth, with their windows open, didn't have to listen to the buzz of race cars? I have a coworker who was at Delta Park with her daughter at the soccer team last weekend. She couldn't believe how loud it was, and now she understands what I have to go through in my own yard. Now, I know schedules are out and plans have been made for this drag race in August, but I don't think it's too early to start reducing noise this year or even next year. But we've got to stop this cycle. I know this has been going on for 30 years. I'm asking that you deny all future variances until long-term noise solution can be put into place and the track can indeed live in harmony with the neighborhood. Let's fix the problem so that we are not here having this conversation in another 10 years. I'm only asking that the promise to mitigate the noise be kept. 30 years is long enough to fight about this. Let's stop it, fix it, and move on with our respective lives, as different as they may be. Thank you.
Now we have supporters of the appellant. Have any folks signed up for that?
We have 8 people signed up.
Okay, please call them forward.
The first 3 are Susan Landauer, Peter Tenneau, and Nancy Cushman. They'll be followed by Carol Newvine, Tim Leiden, and Pam Arden.
What's the third name?
Peter.
Okay. Thank you for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Susan Landauer, and I live in the Portsmouth neighborhood. Thank you, Mayor Potter and City Commissioners, for listening to our testimonies. However, there are a lot of people who wanted to be here who can't take off work in the daytime to come downtown. I would suggest that next time we meet at the Kenton Firehouse on a Wednesday evening when the drag races are running, and you can have the experience. This hearing, as far as I'm concerned, is about drag racing. As obnoxious as the drag races are, I feel that the variance 110 to 115 decibel drag races proposed for August 22nd through 24th will be worse. Road races make a loud, continuous, angry, killer mosquito bee sound. Drag races are like a teenager squealing his tires and then accelerating very fast for a few seconds. Over and over and over. Loud enough that I have to raise my voice to have a conversation on my own patio. Mark Wigginton, the manager at PIR, argued at the Noise Review Board that drag races won't be a long duration of sound over the weekend. Put the seconds and minutes of noise together, and it's only a few hours over a 3-day weekend, he said. I putter in my garden and know that the quiet will soon be blasted by another short burst of very loud noise. I give up my garden and retreat indoors, or I have to leave home. Portland is becoming world famous for taking a fresh look at old behaviors and moving to earth-friendly, humane solutions. North Portland residents, and especially the homes near PIR, are taking the brunt of these races, and we need relief. Please consider our request and not allow a variance weekend for drag races in August. Thank you very much.
My name is Peter Tenno. I left off more material than just this testimony, and I hope somebody will read it. It supports what I'm saying. Personal perspective. At the root of noise, as nuisance, there is a great lack of awareness regarding perception, the psychological, physiological reaction experienced by the receiver. This varies with the individual. In working toward a solution, there must first be an understanding of this, followed by an acknowledgement that the problem of PIR noise is real and bears directly on the larger domain of livability and quality of life. PIR, conforming to a 65 dBA max legal limit, does not adequately address the problem. Constancy, total noise load, and many other unacknowledged factors regarding noise propagation and reception generate the kind of reaction that you are hearing today. This is amply supported in many studies and reports contained in and subsequent to the 1995 World Health Organization compilation entitled Community Noise. With the cause of complaint established, a couple of thoughts to address it. One, the commendable initiative taken by Commissioner Adams in forming a study group comprised of North Portland residents examined noise from various sources, including PIR. An accompanying survey indicated that 34% within the polling area considered noise from PIR as very to somewhat serious, more than a few complainers. Although a step in the right direction, the effort of the study group was truncated by premature dissolution. What is needed now is continuation with focus on PIR noise as the leading source of disturbance and the one most amenable to a mitigation strategy. Two, a second contribution was the FOPIR proposal to attach noise mitigation to future PIR improvements. A good idea and laudable objective. However, after years of waiting for a satisfactory level of abatement, one may understand certain community skepticism without defined goals, specific parameters, and a reordering of priorities, like making noise reduction first priority now, then further mitigation coming with further improvements. The recent track repaving shows how skewed the priorities are. That project yielded no noise mitigation. PIR, being a park's function, is the city's responsibility. Its enterprise status does not abrogate this responsibility. In arguing PIR's commercial contribution to Portland, who benefits and who pays? Is it fair for a few neighborhoods to bear the burden of noise for those well beyond our geographical limits who benefit? Do such commercial benefits trump our much vaunted distinction, quote, city of livability and peaceful neighborhoods? Where is fairness? Where is equity when BES expends $12 million for odor abatement, arguably less of a problem to residents? That's responsibility. That's commitment. PIR noise, I have one more sentence, please.
Go ahead.
PIR noise can be reduced to tolerable limits. What it takes is the will of city leaders, the resources, and the creativity of the city and its citizens to commit to forward movement. Thank you.
Nancy Cushwall, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Since most people have said what I wanted to say, I'm just going to make it for the record that I do oppose granting a PIR variance for the drag races, and that I think the noise solutions can be solved with creativity, the group of us working together with PIR and the city. They come up with some creative solution to the noise problem, because I don't want the racetrack to go away. It has many valuable assets, and I think it's not, I think there's an opening here for people to get together to come up with a solution. Thank you.
Next three are Carol Neuwein, Tim Leiden, and Pam Arden. And they'll be followed by Darian Fenn and John Nicole.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak. You each have 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Carol Neuwein, and I live in the Portsmouth neighborhood at 4822 North Vanderbilt. I support the appeal of the variance to PIR for this race. Just because the champ car race is left, why do we have to use their variance? How about a quiet weekend, August 22nd to the 24th? I live in the Portsmouth neighborhood, and I'm tired of the noise. How can I enjoy my yard or my home in the nice weather with this going on? The race noise drives me nuts, so I stay indoors like a prisoner. And I'm not just referring to the variance race events. It's noisy all summer long. I have lived in the neighborhood since 1983, and contrary to what others say about PIR noise, you never get used to it. Many people say you knew PIR was here before you moved into the neighborhood. This is not true. There was no disclosure at the time I bought my home, and there's no disclosure now. If you are not a race fan, most likely you would never concern yourself about the location of PIR. If the city wants to continue to operate PIR at its current level of activity, please find a way to make our neighborhoods quiet. Let's find a unique Portland solution to the problem. I'm not opposed to the track, just the noise. Council must be tired of us coming down here before you at every opportunity to complain, and we are tired of dragging ourselves down here. Let's start working on a solution. Thanks.
My name is Tim Leiden. I live in the Kenton neighborhood. I grew up in Southern California near a oval track, which was 3/8 of a mile round, and the noise from that we all dealt with, but it was constant noise. It wasn't drag noise. And now I live about 1.5 miles from PIR, and the amount of noise we receive at our house, which is elevated higher than the majority of houses in the Kenton neighborhood, is loud enough for us to have moved our master bedroom from a finished attic to the downstairs main level of our house. Last weekend, there were motorcycle races, and I literally was watching the clock from my office waiting for 10 p.m. to hit so the races would stop. We don't need more noise. I oppose the variance request for August 22nd to the 24th. We host 2 events at my house every summer, and each of these events is always surrounded by comments of PIR and people in disbelief over how much noise we have to listen to during our summer weekends when we're trying to be outside enjoying our lives and our paid-for properties. Thank you.
I'm Pam Arden. I live in the Kenton residence, and I have moved into that house in 1977, so I've been listening to PIR for a good long time. And I'm hoping that this race that probably will be given a variance will not be like the one in 1978 where my windows rattled and wondered what was going on. At that time, it was also a drag race. So I'm concerned about the drag races at PIR. You've had testimony that the regular races, when you have that loud bee noise, you kind of, it's there and you kind of know that it's there, but you try to tune it out. The drag races are another thought entirely. To me, the Wednesday night drags are a real imposition into our neighborhood. And if you are at a meeting at the Kenton Firehouse at that night, you have to stop what you're doing every once in a while because the drag races on Wednesday night can be quite noisy and quite imposing. My concern is that this race, that's not a variance race on Wednesday night. It probably should be. But my concern is that the August race with a variance is going to be louder than what we have on Wednesday nights. And if that's the case, then it is not going to be acceptable in any shape or form. In 1989, you had a resolution that said that you have allowed four variances. Just because somebody didn't show up to use the variance this year doesn't necessarily mean that we have to find something to put in that slot. Let's have a quiet weekend for a change. Let's have the opportunity to enjoy our area without the imposing noise of a drag race. I'm really concerned that as much as I heard at the Noise Review Board meeting about how this was not going to be any louder than what's there now, I'm really concerned that it will be because they have a variance allowing it to be. So please give us a chance to have a quiet weekend instead of more noise. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
The last two are Darian Finn and John Nicole.
Please state your name when you speak, and you each have 3 minutes.
I'm John Nicol of Kenton. First, I wish to express my compassion for the fans of PIR who choose to be buffeted by the angry and aggressive noise of the raceway. I feel their pain, even if they are unaware of it themselves. That being said, we do have a long-standing problem here for many residents of North Portland who do recognize the noise for what it is. The complaints and protests are not going to go away, and in fact, they should increase as the high level of education and expectations found in the wave of new people moving to North Portland is brought to bear on the problem. We are here today because the responsibility for dealing with this issue lies with you. PIR is essentially a city of Portland Park and must meet the standards expected of a city park. The inadequate noise ordinance to which PIR sought a variance is a city ordinance. We can repeat the scenario here of people complaining and PIR digging in its heels and the council not really dealing with the issue, or we can take this moment to establish a proactive path to a solution that benefits all of us, including PIR. I'm sure that you all have read the recent Willie Week article in Portland's Fall from on Portland's fall from preeminence as America's greenest city. I'm delighted that we have been so challenged for the crown, and PIR presents us with a wonderful opportunity for a green response. We all know that our present auto engine is an anachronism. Why should we be living and entertaining ourselves exclusively in the past? Why aren't we racing electric cars, water-powered cars, solar-powered cars? Each new technology offers challenges of weight distribution, of engineering and ergonomics, and noise abatement. And racing truly puts them to the test. New audiences with different and broader interests would be attracted to PIR. The science of acoustics is rapidly evolving with no end in sight for this evolution. While PIR has made grudging efforts to control noise in the past, it could reverse this policy and become a laboratory for noise abatement. The ultimate test for acoustical technology and products, PIR may even be able to acquire experimental technology for free or new products for an endorsement. PIR could set the standard for green raceways in America and maintain that standard through constant innovation. But let's go to the issue at hand, which is an appeal to the variance granted to PIR. Please deny the variance. North Portland is blossoming into something special, and I see this summer as crucial to its growth, which is qualitative. New apartment buildings will be completed and available this summer, and new restaurants with sidewalk dining need the relative quiet in order to prosper. We want quality prosperity in North Portland. Chronic noise can blight that prosperity. Let's change the paradigm.
Hi, I'm Dr. Darian Fan. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I've done extensive reviews of the impact of noise on people. Thank you for this opportunity, and I'd like to raise some concerns that I believe are deserving of your further attention. I believe our current noise code, with its reliance on decibel measurement, is fundamentally flawed, having been based on research that was conducted outside the psychological literature and using methods which were weak or inappropriate to human research. Between noise intensities, which can be regarded as silence at the low end and severe enough to cause hearing damage at the high end, the impact on people of noise is almost completely mediated by subjective psychological factors, with the physical attributes of the sound, however measured, accounting for at most a few percentage points in human response. At the same time, subjectively assessed disturbance by noise is associated with meaningful health consequences. The literature is clear that in the middle band of sound intensity, no meaningful assessment of the impact of noise can be made by relying on decibel measurements. There is no dose-response relationship between the volume of noise and its effects on people. Within this same range, therefore, noise contour maps are essentially meaningless. These findings run counter to conventional wisdom and policy, or, as noted by a leading researcher in the field, quote, "the subjective nature of annoyance still grates on some who regret that people do not respond to noise exactly as do sound level meters," unquote. He concludes that 25 years of research has, quote, "demonstrated the futility of attempts to treat community reactions to noise as an exclusively physical process." Further, medical research has shown that as much as a third of the population is noise sensitive, meaning they are more physiologically reactive to noise in ways that are not a function of hearing sensitivity. On the other end of the scale, please note the fact that about 10% of the population appears to be noise insensitive. Note also that people do not habituate to noise, but rather that the effects are cumulative over time, so that single moment measurements additionally understate the actual effects. What I'm suggesting is that the use of decibels to guide policy largely creates a smokescreen behind which some people can damage the well-being of others, and a convenience for law for enforcement that provides only the illusion of objectivity. Reviews of noise-related protests show, quote, "no support for the notion that environmental critics are chronic complainers whose opinions should be disregarded. Therefore, I hope you will listen to the input of citizens who report how they are affected by noise and give no weight to counterarguments based on physical measures." My written remarks include references to these points, and I've also included some remarks that I prepared for the Noise Control Task Force that offer additional information and suggestions. Thank you.
If you wish, you can give them to the council clerk. Did you wish to give any of those copies to the council clerk?
Yes, I will do that.
Was that all of the folks who signed up?
That's all the supporters, yes.
Okay. We'll now hear from the principal opponent of the appeal. It says in parentheses, the Noise Review Board. Hi, folks. You have a total of 15 minutes.
Thank you. I don't think we'll need that much. My name is Jocelyn Cox. I'm the chair of the Noise Review Board, and I've been a member of it since 1990, so I've got a lot of racing under my belt. You've heard from the North Portland people. They speak very fairly, very, very honestly about their problems. We have heard them. Many of us on the board have experienced them because we've gone out into the neighborhood during racing and listened. With all of that and the fact that we've had, I think, more than 50 letters in opposition to this, to our granting of the variance, you'll wonder why in the world we have done so. I think that all comes down to the resolution that was passed in 1989 that granted PIR for variance race events during the year. As you may have heard, and I hope we'll be hearing in the future when we bring the North Portland studies to you, it's not just the variance racing, those variance races that are the great problem out there. It's the entire noise that does emanate from the track. We feel that since City Council did grant two PIR, those four variance spaces, we are constrained to grant them ourselves. Having examined the applications that have been made by the promoter or PIR directly in this case, to be sure that it is as fair as possible, they will stay within the decibel limits that have been imposed. We ourselves impose certain conditions that we hope will benefit the neighborhood and keep the racing from getting out of hand in any fashion. We require that they monitor carefully at their track what the sound levels will be and go out into the neighborhood in this case and monitor. We hope that all of this will bring more data, not that we need more data, but will bring more data to you over the time. So that was principally our decision.
I'm Vance Yoakum. I'm the new person on the Noise Review Board. I started in March of 2006. All I would have to add is that this particular variance is consistent with the other variances that have been issued for events at PIR as far as conditions, decibel limits, monitoring, the handling of complaints and reporting those to the noise control office. The only other thing I would point out specific to this event is that the vehicles involved are very different from the ones that were banned in 1989. Those vehicles had decibel limits, emanations, I suppose, up to 135 decibels. And so that's considerably louder than the vehicles that are expected to be at PIR in August. And just one other thing I would point out is that the races are to be over by 6 p.m. on Friday and 8 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. So these will not be late night events. Thanks.
And then Paul Van Orden, the noise control officer and staff to the Noise Review Board. And just as a further clarification to Vance's statements, the races that went away in the late 80s, early 90s, the drag races, are physically four times as loud as this particular variance that we would be approving. So the history of the very loud drag races went away in the late 80s, early 90s were much louder than what we're talking about today.
Several of the appellants stated that referenced a report, and Mr. Tanau said in his written statement that the study group that had been put together by Commissioner Adams was truncated by premature dissolution.
Yeah, I thought more work could be done by that group
there. I see, but it was not.
I fully expected more meetings.
Okay.
To come to some resolution and to permit motions to be made.
Sir, I'm really talking.
Okay.
With Paul.
I'm sorry
Thank
about
you.
That. That committee did not meet as often as we had anticipated they would meet, so they probably won't have as much to add to the commentary of the larger study that the consultant's going to bring forward first to the Noise Review Board, and then ultimately the Noise Review Board and the consultant would come to council on June 18th to present the picture jointly to council.
Okay. Did you have a question, Commissioner?
I'm sorry, but is part of the scope of the Noise Control Task Force to look at abatement of noise?
A portion of the work that the Noise Data Collection Project that's just coming to a close now was required to do is to offer general concepts on where the city would go with abatement at the myriad of issues they're looking at, not just the racetrack, but also roadway noise, airport noise, and what am I forgetting, our big one, and then also railroad noise, which has become a big issue in the last few years in North Portland.
Our Noise Control Task Force is looking at the broader picture here.
Yes.
Of noise throughout Portland.
Yes.
If I might add, I am a member also of the North Portland Noise Reduction Committee, and I'm not aware that that committee has finished yet. I at least haven't been notified by the chair of that committee, so I do expect we will have more meetings.
Paul, could you refresh my memory on the North Portland Trust Fund?
I may misspeak on this, so I may need to be corrected by the Parks Bureau, but I believe this may be the last year that there will be money that's filtering into that fund with some of the changes of the parks operations. That's not correct. Okay, so then...
Well, could we get... who does have the answer? Could you just come up, please? Identify yourself and...
Yeah, Mark Wigginton. I manage PIR. The North Portland Trust Fund was set up as a mitigation fund and funded through proceeds from the four variance events. It was set up primarily funded by Champ Car. It was set up at a $30,000 a year contribution from Champ Car. With Champ Car going away, that majority portion goes away. Typically, other events generate $1,000 or $2,000 each year. The fund is fully funded at this point. It's a trust fund, and I think it's got $250,000 in it. So being able to draw money off it won't go away. It's typically been used in the community for non-noise mitigation projects, tree plantings, other grants in the neighborhood.
How much money will go out this year?
Probably about $6,000, $6,000 to $8,000, depending. It's attendance-based. So it's the formula was set up, although it's not codified in the trust fund, was 50 cents a ticket for Champ Car, and it came out to the $30,000. We expect for this event maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people over the weekend paid.
No, Mark, I think he was asking how much money are you paying out of the trust fund to
go? That's completely controlled by the North Port, by ONI and Tom Griffin Vallade in the North Portland Neighborhood Office.
And that's a... quarter of a million?
I think it is right now.
And are there any restrictions on its spending other than for North Portland? And
I don't know. That's really a Tom Griffin Vallade ONI question.
Okay.
So it hasn't gone away?
No, and we'll continue to fund it. Just with Champ Car gone, the majority funding is going away.
Right. But there is $250,000 balance.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions?
Oops.
Thank you, folks. Do we have a sign-up sheet for supporters of the opponents of the appeal?
We do. We have three people signed up: John Dranius, Ted Carlston, and Greg Baldwin.
My guess. Go ahead if you want. Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. Each of you have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name is Ted Carlston. I live in Northeast Portland. I've been involved in these noise issues. I was very involved back in the 80s. You talk about 1989. The last major drag race at PIR was in August of 1985, and it was highly billed as the last drag race. Between 1975 to 1985, the city of Portland reduced noise at PIR by 90%. So when they say nothing's ever been done, lots has been done. I have a task force printout from 1986, I think it is. And as far as noise, I live by the Portland airport. The planes fly over my house. So you can read the numbers. One flew over my house and crashed into Rocky Butte about 20 years ago. So that's 24/7. The only time it was ever quiet was 9/11. I live with it. I didn't have much choice when I moved to the neighborhood because I was 6 months old. But I choose to live there. As I grew up, I moved away for a few months, moved back, and bought a house fully knowing what I was getting into. So thank you.
My name is John Dranius. Greg Baldwin and I are two of the founders of Friends of PIR. And we haven't had a formal coming out party yet, so I'll tell you a little bit about us. We're organized as a 501c3 organization whose mission is to support the racetrack and to enhance it as best we can. We've been in existence for about a year and a half. We have about 7,000 members, I think. At our last board meeting, we decided that we would spare you the avalanche of emails and letters from our membership, and we have not publicized this, and instead we sent two of us here to speak to you today. We, early in our existence, we made a connection with the North Portland Noise Task Force that Commissioner Adams created, and we had a meeting with Tom Markgraf, who was the leader of the group. He got us together with the PIR committee from their study group, and we had some very, very fruitful conversations. We took the tack of telling them, look, why don't we quit arguing about whether this racetrack is too loud or not, and why don't we just work together and see if we can make it quieter? We pointed out in our concept about how to solve this problem is that PIR needs an enormous amount of improvements. And what you build, where you build it, how you design it, and what you build it out of has got to have an effect on how much noise emanates from the racetrack. So we suggested that we hire consultants to do an acoustical study and formulate a model that could tell us what generates noise from the track and advise us about how to create improvements and where to position them and how to quiet the track down. We challenged the noise study group to pick up half the cost. I accompanied Tom Markgraf to a meeting with Commissioner Adams, who immediately committed to have the city contribute half the cost. We've got a proposal from Arup Americas, who Greg can tell you more about, to do the work. It's $22,500 for the initial creation of the model and maybe some follow-up work. That will give us a tool to work with in order to determine how to make improvements to the track in order to reduce the noise that emanates from it. Commissioner Adams isn't here, so I won't speak for him, but I kind of want to know where we should send the invoice for the city's contribution to the noise study group's half of the study, and we can get it going. It can get done this summer. They want to come up and do some monitoring and then formulate the report later on this summer and give us all a tool that we can work with to solve this problem.
I'm Greg Baldwin, and actually John described, I think, very well what is germane to this discussion regarding what we're doing with this model. I'd be happy to respond to any questions you may have about the model and how we expect it to be applied. It does relate to a number of the issues that were raised by the previous speakers. It is certainly different than anything that has been utilized to date at PIR. And matter of fact, it will be unique among racetracks in the world, although Arup, the engineers we're hiring from London are in San Francisco, are doing something that is analogous for a racetrack in England. Other than that, I believe this will be the only ones that are really exploring this kind of development of a model to be used as a tool to really understand how to deal with tracks as a noise source, not just the vehicle as a noise source. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
We have one more person requesting to speak. Mark Wigington.
Hi, Mark Wigginton, manager at PIR. Mostly I came up to see if there are any questions you could ask me. We are the applicant. I took over the track management in 2000, and I heard the same two questions over and over as soon as I got there. When are you bringing back the swap meet, and when can we have a big drag race? The swap meet took a couple of years and has become a huge success, and now this is our first attempt at the drag race. The reason we asked for the 115 variance was it was available with the demise of Champ Car. We fully expected to ask for a 110 variance. We think we can get it in under that, but we wanted to make sure there was headroom. We expect to draw 400 or so cars, which would mean 2,000 people, participants and crew and families, and another 2,000 people or so a day. So some impact on restaurants and hotels in North Portland, but mostly I think it's support of the drag racing community that comes all the time to the facility.
What are the other three variants events?
This year we have the Portland Historics, which is a long-standing vintage sports car race, and that's July 11 through 13. We have an application in for the Mazda Grand Prix of Portland, which is essentially the support series cars that were booked with the Champ Car weekend, and that'll be a 110 variance request. That would be July 25 through 7. The NHRA Open is August 22 through 24, and the Columbia River Classic is Labor Day weekend, and that's another vintage sports car weekend.
Other questions? Thank you.
The appellant has an opportunity to rebuttal. Would you like to come back up and make a closing statement? You have 5 minutes.
5 minutes. It won't take that long because I wasn't prepared for this. There's a couple things, in listening to everyone else's testimony, I think clearly Dr. Finn's testimony that, you know, noise is a very subjective thing, but he clearly provides some information that talks about how damaging it can be. I think I'm living proof. You guys may not believe this, but I used to be a nice person, you know, and I cannot wait for the day that I have actually better things to do than this, you know, and I would like to do that. But one of the things I enjoy doing is gardening. And the fact that I can't garden in my own yard is mind-boggling and infuriating. In listening to everything else, there's a couple things. I know that there's been some talk, and I missed, there was a recent lecture about privatization of parks, you know, and I should have gone to that because it sounds like an interesting option here. And I say, you know, the issue here is that it's such a vicious circle that the city owns the park and manages the park, and that's who we get to complain to, and and that's why we're here again and again, and that's why this has been going on for 30 years. But if you all can, like, step back and see PIR as separate, you know, and you hold them accountable and to reduce and just to be manageable in a low-impact way. I mean, this is Portland, you know? Like, the only racetrack in the country with noise issues. I mean, I just had a friend who was in Nashville, and he brought the paper back from there, and the same thing is going on there with the NASCAR. They were asking them to muffle the cars. I mean, there are options here. Like, more bike events. We love Monday nights in Kenton neighborhood because we can't hear a peep. What about having, you know, a couple world-class bike racing events? Portland loves bikes. You know, and do we really need drag racing twice a week, every week? I mean, would it kill them to, like, knock one or two of those off a month? I mean, and there's ways to make this the greenest, lowest impact racing facility in the country, and that is the Portland way. So if there's any way that we can change this 1989 resolution where there's four variances, I think now is the time. And to not allow these variance races until there is noise reduction in place. And I don't know what that would be, whether it's hush houses, noise walls. I'm not an engineer, but this is 2008. I know, you know, there are really loud airports all over the world. Something can be done about this. And I think the ones making the noise should be the ones paying to reduce it. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I think you're a nice guy.
I'd like to ask a question of Harry.
Yes.
Harry, just remind me, in this hearing, although there's only three of us present, it still requires three votes to pass any motion.
That is correct.
And secondly, if a motion fails to overturn the appeal, or conversely, to uphold